The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 13, verses from 1 to 5. Allow me to read the words of God. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffer this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Amen." Somewhere in the world, accidents, big and small, are taking place every day, even today, as well as natural disasters such as an earthquake and typhoon. There are three categories when it comes to disasters that humans could experience. First, it's natural disasters such as earthquake, typhoon, tsunami, drought, and flood. These cannot completely be controlled by humans. The outstanding example of those can be the South Asian tsunami that began in western Sumatra of Indonesia on December 26, 2004. Death toll at the time recorded more than 30,000, with about 50,000 missing. Frankly speaking, no one would know the exact number of deaths. In addition, in May 2008, there was an earthquake in Sichuan of China, which led 69,000 people dead and 18,000 missing. East Japanese earthquake caused 16,000 dead and 2,500 missing in March 2011. The Hurricane Katrina hit the U.S. state of New Orleans in August 2005. 80% of the New Orleans were flooded and the utilities were all stopped, not to mention the fatalities of more than 1,800 people. No one could possibly take control on such a natural disaster, even if it's superpower, such as the U.S., China, or Japan. Knowing that tropical cyclones develop, bringing heavy rain every year in the U.S., while Korea suffers typhoon all the time, man could barely prepare partially for that, but do nothing to root them out. Second category of disasters is human disasters, which include wars, terrors, and violences. These disasters take place intentionally. The most typical case might be the 9/11 terrorist attack that took place in September 2001. Also, there was a recent religious terrorist attack targeting a church and hotel in Colombo, the capital city of Sri Lanka. With the attack, 290 people died and more than 500 injured. In addition, terrorist attacks and violence take place around the world. Lastly, These are also man-made disasters, but without intention. An accident where a passenger flight falls, a ship sinks, or a building breaks down due to mechanical failures. The collapse of Seongsu Bridge 25 years ago, and the breakdown of Sampung Department Store, and the ferry disaster 5 years ago, as well as the sinking of Hungarian boat in the Danube on this past May 30. The designer nor the engineering company of the Seongsu Bridge would have thought to build a bridge so fragile that it could fall down 15 years later and build again. But the bridge fell down that morning, and a number of cars crossing it went under the Han River. Sampung department store might be the same. No one would have imagined that the building could fall down, even when unreasonably reducing walls and pillars to secure more space and using unstandardized materials. But the department store broke down due to the excessive load, and 500 and more people, including workers and shoppers, lost their lives. The same goes to the 476 passengers of the Sewa ferry boat and 35 of the Hungarian boat. No one would ever have imagined the boat could fall down. Large-scale accident. If it's natural or man-made, leads people to find the source and figure it out. But many times they fail because of their limitations as a human being and try not to apply the problem to themselves, even after identifying the solution due to their selfishness. Not a few times in particular, they tend to blame God for a tragedy taking place. The answer to such a problem that we might have is well indicated in today's scripture. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Several people came to Jesus and said quite a shocking story. They were preparing their sacrifices. When offering at the time, sacrifices were prepared by those who offer, including draining blood and cutting up. What priests did were only throw the blood and burn the slaughtered sacrifices. Sacrifices were in preparation as such, and Pilate killed the Galileans and mixed the blood with that of the sacrifices. This applies to man-made disasters as well. It cannot be correctly understood what kind of this incident is because it's not clearly mentioned in the Bible, but Luke chapter 23, verse 12 testifies that Herod and Pilate became friends to kill Jesus, even if they were enemies each other before. Some scholars believe this incident of Pilate drove Herod and Pilate to become enemies. Governor Pilate reigned Judea, southern Israel, while Herod was the ruler of Galilee, northern part of Israel. Then the ruler of southern region killed the northern people and mixed their blood with that of sacrifices. It was not surprising, considering the Jewish people at the time raised independent movement ceaselessly against the Roman government, and the Roman government ruthlessly cracked down on them. And that of one of those incidents. Why people came to tell this to Jesus, the reason is not indicated clearly, but they might basically want to blame Pilate, the governor. They might have hoped Jesus judge and curse Pilate. But today's scripture shows that what people told Jesus was more about Galileans rather than Pilate. Jesus' answer to their questions as follows. In verse 2, Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffer this way?" People thought those who were killed by Governor Pilate because of their sins. At the time, the land of Galilee was arid and barren. Those who were poor, underprivileged, and experienced failure lived in the region. Some of Galileans wished to achieve success and moved to cities such as Jerusalem, but many of others lived with no hope, but deep sorrow and rage. So they thought Galileans died due to their sins because God became furious without accepting their offering, which is in fact not true at all. This way of thinking applies to those who live today. When a member of the same church suffers hardship, many of fellow members tend to believe he or she might deserve the situation. Let us suppose that I died by lightning on my way to church in a Sunday morning with heavy rain and thunder. How would you think? Would there be more members who think Pastor Zhang passed away while fulfilling duty than those who believe I was punished to be killed because I didn't live the way I thought and committed my sins, many sins? Even if that was not me and others, you should think in the former way. The same should apply not only to others, but also to ourselves. Spouses could one day pass away suddenly out of heart attack or stroke. Children could die before parents. I have quite a lot of experiences to hear from those who had such pain. Why did this happen to me? Did I do something very wrong? We might not be different. But sudden death of a person or many is not because of their sins. Rather, many of them face death on the noble ground. On September 11, 2001, three airliners were kidnapped. Two of them hit the 110-story tall twin building of the World Trade Center in New York to fall down. The last of them crushed the Pentagon, the U.S. Defense Department, and the state of Virginia, damaging part of the building. There was yet another airplane that was kidnapped. The airplane could have hit the Capitol or the White House in Washington, D.C. The aircraft was UA-93, heading for the San Francisco International Airport, leaving the Newark International Airport, which fell on a field of the state of Pennsylvania. Thirty-seven passengers and seven crew members, as well as four terrorists, were on board. The plane was only left and failed to accomplish the terrorist mission. The field once was a mine and then was a landfill. All those on board the craft were sacrificed, but had no related death toll, as it was 400 meters away from the residential area. In the book titled Let's Roll, there's a touching story about why this plane fell on the field. Todd Beamer, an employee of Oracle, was on that airplane. He was a faithful believer raised by a sincere Christian family. It had been 7 years since getting married with two sons, and his wife was pregnant. He went home from a trip to Italy and got on the flight next morning. Then he knew the plane was kidnapped. The plane had an airphone system made by GTE, a long-distance communications company. Mr. Beamer forwarded the situation to an operator using the system for 15 minutes. He said several passengers, some of them were strongly built, while others once were soldiers, planned to stop the terrorists. They said Lord's Prayer and prayed all together for God's help. Mr. Beamer asked the operator to tell his wife he loved her so much. The last word that the operator heard was, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll." That was what Mr. Beamer always said to his sons. When he says, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll," then kids ran outside. Mr. Beamer accepted death, just as he did with his daily routine, even when facing the imminent death. No one could possibly say the death of those on board cannot be those who were alive. Jesus also mentioned another story in verse 4. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? This accident as well is not clear how it happened, but is considered as a natural disaster or an unintended disaster anyway. This time again, people thought they were killed due to their sins. December 26 of 2004, when the South Asian tsunami took place, was Sunday following Christmas. There was a pastor who said a thoughtless remark that the people amounting to 300,000 were sacrificed because they went on vacation without offering worship on Christmas and Sunday. If that really was due to their sins, I would have died long ago. And if God allowed such a tragic disaster to take place, only because they missed worship, there must be disasters arising with hundreds of thousands of casualties in every continent on every Christmas. Whether it's natural or a man-made disaster, we need to consider the same, because the answer of Jesus remained the same. In verse 3, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. And in verse 5, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Jesus gave the same answer to repent. The word repent does not have the same meaning with cry or regret. Repent literally means to change one's mind. More frankly and precisely, it's to change one's wicked mind. Because you changed your mind, you can regret the past life and the life without God, and you shed tears of joy with which you walk with the Lord. It starts with changing mind, and it's completed with a change in life. The verse 3 and 5 indicate that whatever Jesus sees, this should be applied to each life in a righteous way. We can minimize the occurrence of man-made disasters by setting up the right institutions and each and every member of the society strictly following such institutions. Today's scripture begins with now, which is related to the words of chapter 12, verses from 54 to 59 that we studied last week. As we can tell, when there is a cloud, rain would fall, and when the south wind blows, the weather will get hot. We need to discern this time. Also, as we cannot get freedom without praying all the money back, we need to accept God's words. Otherwise, we could suffer a great hardship. Based on today's scripture, you should apply all detailed matters happening in the world to yourself. And God tells us to correct what's wrong and get it back. In verses 4 and 5, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? Jesus affirms that the 18 didn't die when the tower in Siloam because of their sins. Then it adversely means those who were alive didn't survive because they were innocent. We are all subject to die due to our sins, but still are alive thanks to God who is waiting and believing us. Today is the Pentecost Sunday when we commemorate God's coming down to this world. On the Pentecost 2,000 years ago, we are helpless at best and full of sins and faults. Nevertheless, we can stay where we are today to serve God because of the grace, guide, and working of God. If you truly believe this, we can fully depend on the Holy Spirit. We can live a life without regrets only in the Holy Spirit. If sometimes something unfathomable happens, we would have a new meaning in the everlasting life and follow the path of eternal life. Most of us wish to live until the average age, at least. But the length of our life in this world is decided completely by God. There are a number of people who walked out of the house this morning, but cannot come home in the evening. They wouldn't expect going to school or work that morning could become the last time of their lives. They wouldn't expect the trip that they planned for a long time would become the final trip to say goodbye with those who they loved. Someday, there definitely will be the day we have to see the last face of our friends, and we'll have the last conversation with our family. There also will be the last day of our lifetime to offer the last worship. As a pastor, I hope you to live enough to know the last Sunday. But the choice will be made not by me, but God. On March 28, 1993, a Bugunghwa train bound from Seoul to Busan had a crash near Gupo, one stop before Busan. There was a blasting work going on to place high voltage cables, but the deep hole was left unfilled near beneath the railroad. A train was passing the hole, and the locomotive and a generator were overturned, and two passenger cars got crushed in a serious way. That was the worst ever train crash in Korea's history, with 78 in death toll and 198 injured. I was in the car 3 at the time, right near the car number 5 and 6. That was too awful memory to remember even 26 years later now. I couldn't use a train for a while since then. I felt threatened even by a car passing beside me. Knowing that I was there, my friends told me that it was grateful that I was not affected, and some said it was God's grace. But what I thought the most was why God saved me. It was unfortunate to think many of those who died there might have not received God yet. I even had a thought that I might be able to go to heaven as I attended a graduate school of theology at the time, and it could have been better if I had died for those who didn't believe in God. I came to a conclusion. I should prepare for the day when God calls me, because I would never know when is the time. Also, I should be more righteous in my life as the second chance was given. To Christians, every death is a blessing. There's no death of curse. Never. At the moment you admit that every death is God's grace, the kingdom of God, which God promised for us, will be given, and the everlasting life begins. Such a person will surely be built in the Lord together. I recently received three different obituaries. A dean who sent his wife, who has suffered from a disease or for a long time, said, "Pastor Zhang, my wife's gone and I am alone now." Another fellow member told me about a member who suddenly passed away. "Pastor, he's gone." And then a couple told me about their son who died of leukemia. "Pastor, our son is gone." There's no one who is allowed to live forever in this world. That is why we should be prepared all the time. And then one day you will hear, "Pastor Chong Hanjo has gone." That day is approaching every day, every hour, and every moment to us. Only those who believe this fact could live a life connected to the eternity and live a life of truth, life, and abundance together with the Holy Spirit who sits with us. Are you ready? Let's roll. Let us pray. Father God, you created this beautiful world and perfectly made humans in a good way, but man get evil day by day ever since the first sin that was committed, and the world is becoming harder to live. I will get more. I'll be promoted higher. I'll enjoy more. It becomes our daily life to abuse others, and the vicious cycle keeps going on and on. In the meantime, many of them lose their family, and even the whole family lose their lives. Father, please comfort those who are in pain losing their parents, spouses, and children due to natural disasters such as an earthquake and typhoon, terror, and other accidents. Even if they may feel hard to leave due to the lost, help them to meet God in a more sincere way because of such tragedy, so they can experience God is more abundant than the part they lost. They might not be able to understand in this world, but help them to make sure with hope that there must have been deep and amazing work of God in the kingdom of God. May there be no one who neglects and judges those with different religion, race, level of wealth, and language. Also help them long for God more by understanding such a tragedy is supposed to happen due to our sinful nature. May we look back on ourselves more thoroughly through what we might face in this world and watch our hearts lean toward God more and more. We pray that each day we spend be the Pentecost Sunday, staying with the Holy Spirit so that we can live a life not only of truth, life, and abundance, but also of being connected to the eternity. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.